Chapter 1. Family Ties. The loss of her husband had a profound effect on Angeline Fowle. She had retreated to her room, refusing to go outside. She took refuge in her mind, preferring dreams of the past to real life. It is doubtful whether she would have recovered had not her son, Artemis II, done a deal with the elf, Polly Short. His mother's sanity in return for half the ransom gold he had stolen from the fairy police. His mother fully recovered, Artemis Jr. focused his efforts on locating his father, investing large chunks of the family fortune in Russian excursions, local intelligence, and internet search companies. Young Artemis had received a double share of foul guile. However, with the recovery of his mother, a moral and beautiful lady, it became increasingly difficult for him to realize his ingenious schemes, schemes that were ever more necessary to fund the search for his father. Angeline, distraught by her son's obsession and afraid of the effects of the past 2 years on his mind, signed up her 13-year-old for treatment with the school's counsellor. You have to feel sorry for him. The counsellor, that is. St. Bartleby's School for Young Gentlemen, County Wicklow, Ireland, present day. Dr. Poe leaned back in his padded armchair, eyes flicking across the page in front of him. Now, Master Fowle, let's talk, shall we? Artemis sighed deeply, smoothing his dark hair back from a wide, pale brow. When would people learn that a mind such as his could not be dissected? He himself had read more psychology textbooks than the counsellor, but he had even contributed an article to the Psychologist's Journal, under the pseudonym Dr. F. Roy Dean Schlick.
Certainly, Doctor. Let's talk about your chair. Victorian?
Poe rubbed the leather arm fondly.
Yes, quite correct. Something of a family heirloom. My grandfather acquired it at an auction at Sotheby's. Apparently it once stood in the palace, the Queen's favourite.
A taut smile stretched Artemis's lips, perhaps a centimetre.
Really, Doctor? They don't generally allow fakes in the palace.
Poe's grip stretched the worn leather.
Fake? I assure you, Master Fowle, this is completely authentic.
Artemis leaned in for a closer examination.
It's clever, I grant you, but look here.
Poe's gaze followed the youth's finger.
Those furniture tacks. You see the crisscross pattern on the head? Machine-tooled. 1920 at the earliest. Your grandfather was duped.
But what matter?
A chair's a chair. A possession of no importance, eh, Doctor?
Poe scribbled furiously, burying his dismay.
Yes, Artemis. Very clever. Just as your father says, play any little games. Now, shall we get back to you?
Artemis Fowle II straightened the crease in his trousers.
There is a problem here, Doctor.
Really? And what might that be?
The problem is that I know the textbook replies to any question you care to ask.
Dr. Poe jotted in his notepad for a full minute.
We do have a problem, Artemis, but that's not it, he said eventually.
Artemis almost smiled. No doubt the doctor would treat him to another predictable theory. Which disorder would he have today? Multiple personality, perhaps? Or maybe he'd be a pathological liar?
The problem is that you don't respect anyone enough to treat them as an equal.
Artemis was thrown by the statement. This doctor was smarter than the rest.
That's ridiculous. I hold several people in the highest esteem.
Poe did not glance up from his notebook.
Really? Who, for example?
Artemis thought for a moment.
Albert Einstein? His theories were usually correct. And Archimedes, the Greek mathematician?
What about someone that you actually know?
Artemis thought hard. No one came to mind.
What? No examples?
Artemis shrugged. You seem to have all the answers, Dr. Poe. Why don't you tell me? Poe opened a window on his laptop.
Extraordinary. Every time I read this...
My biography, I presume.
Yes. It explains a lot.
Such as?
Asked Artemis, interested in spite of himself.
Dr. Poe printed off a page. Firstly, there's your associate, Butler. A bodyguard, I understand, but hardly a suitable companion for an impressionable boy. Then there's your mother. A wonderful woman, in my opinion, but with absolutely no control over your behaviour. Finally, there's your father.
According to this, he wasn't much of a role model even when he was alive. The remark stung. But Artemis wasn't about to let the doctor realize how much.
"Your file is mistaken, doctor," he said. "My father is alive. Missing, perhaps, but alive."
Poe checked the sheet.
"Really? I was under the impression that he'd been missing for almost 2 years. Why, the courts have declared him legally dead."
Artemis's voice was devoid of emotion, though his heart was pounding.
"I don't care what the courts say or the Red Cross. He's alive, and I will find him."
Poe scratched another note.
"But even if your father were to return, what then?"
he asked.
"Will you follow in his footsteps? Will you be a criminal like him? Perhaps you already are."
"My father is no criminal,"
Artemis pointed out testily. "He was moving all our assets into legitimate enterprises. The Murmansk venture was completely above board."
"You're avoiding the question, Artemis," said Poe.
But Artemis had had enough of this line of questioning. "Time to play a little game."
"Why, doctor," said Artemis, shocked. "This is a sensitive area. For all you know, I could be suffering from depression."
"I suppose you could," said Poe, sensing a breakthrough. "Is that the case?"
Artemis dropped his face into his hands.
"It's my mother, doctor."
"Your mother?" prompted Poe, trying to keep the excitement from his voice. Artemis had retired half a dozen counselors from St. Bartleby's already this year. Truth be told, Poe was on the point of packing his own bags. But now...
"My mother, she..."
Poe leaned forward on his fake Victorian chair.
"Your mother?"
"Yes."
"She forces me to endure this ridiculous therapy when the school's so-called counselors are little better than misguided do-gooders with degrees."
Poe sighed. "Very well, Artemis, have it your way, but you're never going to find peace if you continue to run away from your problems."
Artemis was spared further analysis by the vibration of his mobile phone. It was on a coded secure line. Only one person had that number. The boy retrieved it from his pocket, flipping open the tiny communicator.
"Yes?"
Butler's voice came through the speaker.
"Artemis, it's me."
"Obviously. I'm in the middle of something here."
"We've had a message."
"Yes? From where?"
"I don't know exactly, but it concerns the foul star."
A jolt flew along Artemis's spine.
"Where are you?"
"The main gate."
"Good man, I'm on my way."
Dr. Poe whipped off his spectacles.
"This session is not over, young man. We've made some progress today, even if you won't admit it. Leave now and I'll be forced to inform the Dean."
The warning was lost on Artemis. He was already somewhere else. A familiar electric buzz was crackling over his skin. This was the beginning of something. He could feel it.